What's up? Welcome to the show. Do we have a bullpen controversy with the Yankees? Who is the most boring player in fantasy? That's always a good thing to talk about on the show. We're going to marvel at greatness, get the trustometer out, and just have a good old-fashioned fun time talking about America's favorite pastime. Adam Azer, Chris Towers, and here's Scott White. I hope you're feeling better, Scott White.
I am feeling better.
Is your tumbly better, Scott?
It's mostly better. I'm going to go easy. I'm going to go easy on it today. some crackers and Gatorade, maybe a banana.
No, like Indian food or
no. It's probably a bad idea.
Hit up Chipotle, risk some E. coli.
Whoa.
Oh, topical. Well then, we had a great time without you, but we're happy to have you back. And I'm going to give you, I'm going to put you at leadoff today. Give me a standout from Tuesday, somebody you want to talk about.
I want to talk about Rhys Hoskins.
I knew it. We all knew he was going there. You already got kudos for your great call yesterday on the show for Rhys Hoskins. But he homered again, and he's 50% owned.
Yeah. And what's most impressive to me isn't the home runs, because he set a Lehigh Valley, that's the AAA affiliate for the Phillies. He set a record there for home runs this year before getting called up. He was second in the minors last year in home runs, so he was going to hit home runs. But what's most impressive to me is that he has struck out four times in 21 at-bats after doing something similar this spring, and after showing the last 2 years in the minors that he's not just some like all or nothing slugger. He is a good all around hitter, and it's the way it's playing out in the majors. The fact that Phillies haven't sat him yet, even though he's mostly playing out of position, I think it all points to a very strong final couple months here for Hoskins. Now that he's outfield eligible, I really don't see why there's any excuse not to own him in your league.
And would you rather have Hoskins or Derek Fisher?
Hoskins.
I would rather have Hoskins as well.
Is there any?
Thanks for asking, Adam.
Yeah, I was. Thank you. Is there any recent call up or any rookie who did not start the season with the big league club that you would rather have than Hoskins? Would you rather have Devers? And that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Cody Bellinger.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about him. All right, fine. More
had
recent.
To be that jerk. Had
more
to be
recent
that jerk.
Call-ups.
Sorry.
No, I'd rather have Devers than Hoskins.
Is that it?
That's probably it among the more recent call-ups.
Moncada?
Nope. Okay. Rather have Hoskins.
Hoskins made such a bad play in the field. And you could have had a really good call on Mark Leiter, because Mark Leiter got screwed. Three runs were charged to him in the first inning. Should have been zero. And I'm going to tell you something. And it's no longer if I were commissioner of baseball. Now it's I want to do everything I can to become commissioner of baseball so I can change official scoring. If a player misses a routine play in the outfield because he takes a bad route, even if he doesn't touch the ball, that's a freaking error. Should not be a hit. It's an error. Should be unearned runs.
You know, there's a better fix here.
What is that?
It's DH in the NL. That way Rhys Hoskins doesn't have to actually be out in the outfield.
No, that's not going to fix the problem. It's going to fix one particular instance of the problem.
It would have fixed this specific instance.
But I never liked that rule. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't think we should put this all on the bad defensive play for Hoskins. I mean, Mark Leiter was bad in this start. I don't know what it is about him when he gets to start a game as opposed to relief. Those two relief appearances were basically starts. I mean, he went more than three innings in each of them, and
there's like
16 strikeouts in 9 1/3 innings.
There's a pretty obvious explanation, though, right? And I said it on yesterday's podcast. Opposing batters go into a game with a scouting report for one pitcher. That pitcher leaves the game after Vince Velasquez left his after one batter, right?
I don't know.
Very early in the game, all of a sudden, you're seeing a completely different pitcher. It can throw you off your game that early,
especially
if it's not a situation where, like, you just beat the crap out of the starting pitch.
He gave up four earned runs, eight total runs in five innings. And like I said, should have been one earned run because Hoskins cost him three runs. There were two outs. He misplayed a fly ball, routine fly ball.
Right, two swinging strikes. Going from striking out 16 and 9 1/3 innings to having two swinging strikes
the entire
game. And
also you're arguing he should have allowed seven unearned runs?
Yeah. It's a big deal. You
can't
give guys extra outs.
I think there is a point where bad luck takes over, but I'm not sure 7 unearned runs is bad luck.
Well, no, it should have been. It should have been a total of 5 runs, one earned. Yeah, that's what it should have been. All right, you know what? He's 12% owned. He's 12% owned, and I'm playing against him in the podcast league, so I was happy about that. Winning, I'm in. All right, Chris, you're our OBP guy. You're batting second today. Who are you nominating?
We should talk about the fact that Rick Porcello is good again, right?
Ooh, the trustometer. Skipping ahead to the trustometer. Where are you on that with Rick Porcello?
I mean, he's given up 11 home runs in 8 starts since the start of July, which is really bad. He is no longer a ground ball pitcher, which is not a great sign. But the results are much better. He's pitching deep into games. He's really only had 1 bad start in his last 8. I am glad I started Rick Porcello in one of my leagues yesterday, and I am back to trusting him.
Ooh, okay.
I'm glad I picked him up off waivers when he was dropped.
Yeah.
He's neither as good as he was last season, nor as bad as he was for the first 3 months of this season.
I think it's just BABIP normalization. He was leading the league in BABIP for most of the year and was giving up a ton of hits. And now the BABIP's down to 332. So it's dropped about 30 points since I last looked, which was probably, 2 months ago, maybe less. And last 8 starts a 369 ERA. That's probably more appropriate to Porcello. And that's a pitcher with that offense backing him if he's pitching deep into games. Yep. I mean, he's only gone 3-4 during that stretch, but it could be much better.
And, 6 innings at least in 7 of the 8, 7 innings in 4 of the 8. I think, he's not like a dominant pitcher. He's not a star like he seemed like he was last year, but he's useful. I'd rather have him than the guy he beat yesterday who's been better this season, Mike Leake.
Yeah, well, Mike Leake's 77% owned in a 2-start week. And we're talking about Rick Porcello here, who is back. What's his number on the trustometer? He's got the Yankees at home this weekend. Rick Porcello.
I'll give him like a 6. Is that what she said?
Yeah, specifically against the Yankees, maybe a 4. Although, he might strike out like 11, depending on how often Aaron Judge bats.
Okay, Judge has tied the single season record of consecutive games with a strikeout, tied with Adam Dunn. Anyway, let's stick with the trustometer, with the trustometer, since you skipped ahead. Marco Estrada, previous 3 starts, 7 innings in each start, and 4 combined earned runs. Last night, got crushed by the Rays. 6 runs on 10 hits and 4 1/3. Trustometer on Marco Estrada, who just always seems to struggle with the Rays, by the way.
Well, before this start, it probably would have been like a 6. But now I got to drop it to 3.
I was thinking of 3 as well.
This was the start I was hoping for because he's at the Cubs this weekend.
He's just hard to trust.
This was the start I was hoping
to
be
think,
good.
I think, like, even when things are going well, he's a little like Mike Fiers. The stuff isn't overwhelming, so he really needs to be on top of his game. And the margin for error is very slim.
All right, how about Brad Peacock? Brad Peacock was dominating, and then he ran into a little bit of bad luck in the 4th inning. The first batter of the inning was Ketel Marte, who just sort of rolled one up the first baseline. Easy out. It hits first base, the actual base. It does not hyperextend its knee. Instead, it caroms into foul territory, but it was a fair ball. It was a BS single. And the inning unraveled after that. There was another infield single later in the inning, and then he couldn't get out of the 5th. He's cruising along. I'm going to get the points for the win. Very personal today because I thought Peacock was going to really deliver for me. And he ended up not doing so. Trustometer for Brad Peacock, who has Oakland this weekend at home.
Well, 9 against Oakland.
Sure, yeah. I was going to say 7 until you mentioned the matchup.
And overall, I would go a 6. He's mostly managed to overcome it since the start of July, but I worry there's a little Kenta Maeda in him. And that he's just not going to consistently go deep enough into games to consistently pick up a bunch of wins. I know he's 10-1. And there will be times when he just runs out of gas.
I don't think that's what happened in this one, though, like Adam was saying. I mean, 9 strikeouts, 1 walk, 0 home runs. That should not yield basically a 9 ERA for the contest like he had.
Yeah, he may have run out of gas because the third inning was such a, you know, I don't even know what the, you know. I'm just not even going to use an adjective because you know what I'm talking about. He faced a lot of hitters. He threw a lot of pitches.
It was a pooper.
There you go. But I'm going to say this. I wanted to bring up Brad Peacock because I'm calling dibs on Brad Peacock. If he's in the rotation next year, he's going to be my guy. People are going to go, oh, Azer, good call on Brad Peacock. I think he's tremendous. I do think he needs another pitch that's going to take him to another level. But his fastball slider combo is ridiculous. He changed the grip and the arm angle on his slider.
More like Grud Peacock?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. So Brad Peacock will not be bad Peacock. I'm a big fan of his, and I trust him quite a bit. There you go. I called it dibs on Peacock, and we're going to start him this weekend against Oakland. I got to bring up our oldest Chapman, guys. Chapman gave up a 2-run homer yesterday. He gave up a solo homer on Sunday. He's got, in his last 3 appearances, 5 swinging strikes on 69 pitches. Now, the previous 10 appearances, Chapman only gave up 1 run in 10 and 2-thirds. He struck out 11, which isn't a lot for him in 10 and 2-thirds. That's terrible for him. And a 10% swinging strike rate, just something doesn't seem right, and it's not the velocity. He's throwing as hard as ever. And he did hurt his hamstring a little bit, but they say it's no big deal. They're not even going to do tests. What do you guys think about this Yankees bullpen situation right now?
Yeah, something does seem a little off on him, with him. It's been going on all year. It kind of reminds me of what Craig Kimbrell went through for the Red Sox last year. And the scary part is that the Yankees have like 5, if you include Chapman, it's 5 shutdown relievers, basically. So they have 4 other potential closing options. It would seem weird that Chapman would be anything but the closer for whatever team he's on, but they can't let him cost them games, so that's something I'd be worried about if I was the Chapman owner.
It's a weird situation because, one, I'm not sure Joe Girardi's the kind of guy who's like, I think it needs to get really bad before he removes his $86 million closer out of the closer's role. And I just, the thing I always struggle with in these discussions just philosophically is blowing a lead in the ninth inning sucks, but blowing a lead in the seventh inning isn't all that much better.
It's much better.
It's kind of better.
You still have a chance,
but blowing a save, but like blowing a lead is still bad.
First of all, you blow a save in the ninth inning, like you've already used, there are a lot of times you've already used your good relievers. So if you go to extra innings, you can't use them anymore. I mean, it is a huge difference. Now, one thing with Chapman, his first 12 games, give up 1 run in 11 and a third. He had 18 strikeouts. He had a 13% swinging strike rate, which is a little low, I guess, for him. But then he got roughed up twice, and then he went on the DL with a shoulder injury. And it's just possible that he's just not fully healthy. And he hurt his leg yesterday. So I get, Betances got the save on Tuesday, on Monday when Chapman wasn't available. If for some reason Betances is available, like he would be in a points league. Maybe you stash him just in case there's an injury here. But I think we've covered this. I don't know.
But are we sure Betances would be the one?
He was on Monday. I thought it would be Robertson, to be honest with you, but it was Betances on Monday for what that's worth. But no, I'm not sure. Who wants to pick up the Nelson Lamet, 68% owned?
Me.
Yeah, you're in?
Yeah. No, his last 5 starts, he has like a
237.
237 ERA and a... Got the other one there?
10 walks, 30 strikeouts, and 30 and a third. He's 4-0.
It comes out to a .89 whip.
No, I didn't have
that. He is someone who doesn't have great control, but doesn't have bad control. Is a very good strikeout pitcher, and I think he's got very good strikeout stuff. It's the home runs that remains the issue, and when he keeps the ball in the yard, and I think when he's got the right matchup, I think he's very, very usable.
Well, I don't know how many of those home runs came on changeups. but he's pretty much ditched the changeup during the stretch. He's just gone to fastball slider, and the slider is the pitch that made him everything he is today. That's his wipeout, you know, swing and miss pitch.
The changeup was interestingly.
Go ahead.
Yet to give up a home run off his changeup.
Okay.
But the pitch has still been rocked overall.
Yeah. So it's probably a good thing he's ditched it, at least for now. The slider's good enough that he can get away with just having two pitches. And the thing about him, he's a rookie, right? And, you know, I just wrote that column last week, pitchers whose innings may be running out. He's really not in danger of that. He's, I think, still about 30 or 40 away from his previous high as a professional. So he should be able to last through the season. And I think he's a nice find off the waiver wire this type of year. Swinging strike rate that would put him, I think, in the top 15 if he had the innings to qualify.
Okay, so Denelson Lamed is 68% owned. It's time to play another round of everybody's favorite game. Which pitcher would you drop for Denelson Lamed? Or which pitcher would you prefer Lamed to? Whatever you want to, you know, say. Trevor Bauer or Lamed?
Lamed.
Bauer.
Wow. Chris is a Bauer fan now, huh?
No, I think the home runs are, the fly ball rate is a concern for Lamed in a way that it isn't for Bauer, and I think they're very similar otherwise.
Jameson Taillon or Denelson Lamed?
Trevor Bauer's not that big of a bat misser, right?
He has been this season.
Yeah. Taillon or Lamed?
Taillon.
Oh, wow. Bauer's strikeout rate's up to 10.2%.
Although I think his swing strike rate's really low.
Who?
Bauer's.
No. Sorry, this is my...
Yeah, come on, let's focus here. Taillon or Lamed?
Taillon.
Yes, Taillon.
Roark or Lamed?
Lamed.
Roark.
Straley or Lamed?
Straley or Lamed? Lamed.
I think they're both matchup dependent, so whoever has a home game next.
Okay, fair enough. More on Dan Straley and the lack of strikeouts that we've been seeing for a while now. Coming up later on in the show, that probably covers the standouts, but we do have to talk about some of the great, great players that are just dominating right now. Votto, Stanton, Josh Donaldson. I do have a nominee for most boring player in fantasy. I believe this guy has really performed exactly as like a number two outfielder, and he's number 23 in points, number 24 in Roto, and you pretty much never sit this guy. He's just boring. His name is, well, you tell me who he is. He's batting 291. He has 12 home runs and 23 steals.
Oh, so I don't think it's who I was thinking of.
Who'd you think it was?
I was thinking of Christian Yelich.
It is not. Yelich is...
Because I think Christian Yelich fits this bill very well.
I guess, but like, there's so much intrigue around Yelich because he's having such a like kind of a down year, but still fine for fantasy because of the runs. Like, we haven't talked about this guy at all. He's whatever since the All Star break.
23 steals.
291, 12 homers, 23 steals, 21 doubles. Career high approaching here. 16 home runs is his career high. 28 steals is his career high.
So it's not Lorenzo Cain.
It is Lorenzo.
It is Lorenzo Cain.
It is. Mm. Yeah. Good job.
I thought he had a higher career high in home runs. Nope, 16.
Yeah. Right, you just start him, right? Because he gets you steals. And you just...
Yeah, he's just a solid guy.
Boring.
Well, the fact that has that many stolen bases makes him...
He's fourth in baseball?
Right, he's kind of a statistical oddity there, just because nobody runs that much.
Yeah, it's crazy. In fact, Billy Hamilton stole his 50th base yesterday, and we'll talk about that. We have a lot to talk about on today's show. Let's marvel at greatness. Stat of the day is from this guy, Paul Hembekides, Hembekides. I think his Twitter handle is at Paul Hembo. I think he's a statistician. And he says, Joey Votto owns a 512 OBP in the second half. Over the last three seasons, that's 176 games, and Votto's OBP is 512 if you look at the second halves of each of the last three seasons. Number two on the list is Mike Trout at 438.
It's a thing for his career, actually. His career on base percentage in the second half is 444.
It's incredible. Now, you look at another stat from ESPN. Joey Votto has the second longest streak in baseball history, or since 1900, of reaching base multiple times in a game. He's done it 20 games in a row. Ted Williams is the record holder since 1900. He's on fire. Number two hitter in points, number seven in Roto.
Also, have you seen him just chucking baseballs out of Wrigley Field the last two nights?
No.
It's phenomenal. If there's if there's a foul ball hit towards him, he will pick it up and just throw it entirely out of the stadium rather than throwing it into the stands.
Oh,
I love it.
What a jerk. It's pretty funny now.
Joey Votto is the most interesting man in baseball, in my opinion. I know a lot of people don't think walks are interesting. They don't think his cerebral approach to the game is interesting. But there was a really interesting note about a week ago in the Cincinnati Inquirer where he said that he noticed that two left-handed batters, strikes are being called more often on the inside part of the plate. And pitchers have been pitching him that way. And that's why he's hitting for more power this season. And there has actually been, Eno Saris on FanGraphs did a study and noted that strikes are being called on the inside half of the plate to left-handed batters more often. And like, does he just realize these things? Just like, he's just picking up on it. It's amazing. This guy is so interesting, so cerebral. He's a phenomenal hitter. May he reign for all of eternity.
When are you going to draft Joey Votto next year?
I think he's a borderline first rounder.
Yeah, borderline. He's, when push comes to shove, I think I'll probably let him slide to the second round just because at 34, he turns 34 next month, he'll be by far the oldest first round pick. And with that comes injury concerns. Mm-hmm. It comes with decline concerns, although he's having his best season ever.
And just the last 3 years have been unbelievably good for him. Like, it's not really, this is arguably his best season ever.
Well, I think for fantasy purposes, just because of the home run increase
and the RBI.
Yeah.
He's on pace for a career high in RBI.
All right, that's,
and
that's
runs.
Votto. Let's move on from Joey Votto and go to Giancarlo Stanton. Marvel at greatness. He has homered in six straight games, approaching the record of eight, which is held by a few people, including his manager, Don Mattingly. Giancarlo Stanton has 23 home runs in his last 35 games. Only two players have hit more homers in a 35-game stretch. Sammy Steroids in 1998 and Steroids Bonds in 2001. Did I say their names incorrectly? I'm sorry. Sammy
Sosa. That's pretty much...
Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds. Yeah.
Are you one of these people who thinks Giancarlo Stanton is chasing the quote-unquote real home run record?
Well, that's what he said.
This is the dumbest thing in the world.
Didn't he say he was chasing 61?
Okay, then that's dumb.
No, it's not. Like, that is the
it
home
is
run
dumb.
Record.
It's not.
I appreciate
the
I
home
appreciate
run record is
thought.
73.
Okay, but if he hits 62, I do think a lot of people will recognize him as the single season home run record.
That's
holder.
A whopping dang lot not of home long. Runs. It is not the record.
I mean, people didn't recognize Roger Maris's record for how long?
Yeah, people are dumb.
But they do now.
They just don't like old records falling.
So Giancarlo Stanton is, I mean, we talked about him yesterday. He's real good. People should probably stop pitching to him.
Who would you rather? Who are you going to draft first next year, Votto or Stanton?
Votto.
All right. Josh Donaldson has homered in three straight games. Marvel at his greatness.
Yeah, that may be my worst take of the season. When I correctly acknowledged that his skill set seemed to be declining, because it did. And he just happened to turn that around immediately after I said that.
This is the next big hurdle, I think, in analytics. Figuring out when batted ball tendencies are a reflection of way a hitter is performing, or the other way around?
I think they're not. We get into, and I wrote about this with Justin Smoke earlier in the season. We get stuck in thinking that what a player is doing based on batted ball, exit velocity, all these things, is reflective of skill. And we think that because these are quote unquote skill-based signifiers, that they're less prone to regression, that they're less prone to flukiness, that they're less prone to, because we think they get closer to a player's true talent level. And they do. They get closer to a player's true talent level than batting average does. We are better off trusting those than we are just looking at their overall production.
But sometimes when it's like, well, okay, skill, this is Josh Donaldson.
Skill level fluctuates. Near I think that's the thing, is that skill level fluctuates for players during the course of a season, too. Some players get locked in. Players get on slumps. These are things that happen, and, you know, it's illustrative of that.
But you understand, like, all the arguments we had that these great players, they're going to go on their tears. It's a straight-up guarantee.
Okay,
well,
but...
usually. It's not a guarantee.
It's a guarantee.
Look at Miguel Cabrera.
Bad seasons happen all of the time, Adam.
Miguel Cabrera will have a hot streak at maybe next year.
Adam, how many times did you trade for Josh Donaldson before this?
I tried. Nobody would give him up because they were smart enough to know.
But you knew.
They were smart enough
to know.
Because
you lowballed because you weren't
willing to put your money where your mouth is.
You did not make offers for Josh Donaldson, the first round pick. Offers for Josh Donaldson, the guy who's having a crappy first half of the season.
I probably made offers for Josh Donaldson, the third round pick. You know,
right?
I probably made third, but you don't overpay.
So you weren't willing to put your money where your mouth
is.
I'm not willing to be a stupid fantasy owner and overpay.
Oh my gosh!
Why would you pay face value for somebody who's not performing?
Because you're guaranteeing.
Bold, underlined, italics, guaranteed.
That these star players.
It's such bad logic for such a smart person. I don't understand.
You just said guaranteed, Adam.
I was joking,
you said
obviously.
Guaranteed.
I was joking.
No jokes.
No more jokes. All right, marvel
this
at greatness.
Business.
Marvel at greatness from two players who are not necessarily great. Joey Gallo. G-A-L-L-O has a 1334 OPS in August. He's homering. He's actually hit very well against lefties. Is this a breakthrough for Joey Gallo, who's the number 18 third baseman in points, number 12 in Roto, or just an extended hot streak a la Chris Davis, a la Chris Carter?
I'm sure Rob Deere had months like this. I think Joey Gallo is an extremely talented power hitter who has enough holes in his game that you shouldn't expect him to hit anything more than 230.
Okay, let's move on. Billy Hamilton, marvel at his greatness. He stole his 50th base. That's impressive. And for the year, Hamilton is 29th at outfield in points leagues, 17th in Roto. In categories formats, he's one of the most difficult players to really put a true value on. Probably depends on how many roster spots you have and how much damage he's going to do to you in the other categories. Depends on a lot.
Well,
it
this
is.
Year,
it is if you have like a three outfielder league with no corner infield and no middle infield, but you add four or five more hitters. It's not that bad, and he's single-handedly scoring about 95 runs, winning you steals most weeks.
And he probably takes you from 8th place to 1st place in steals in Roto by himself.
Yes.
And if you're going to be bad in a category, batting average is probably the one to be bad at.
Well, why? It's worth...
Because there's so many plate appearances to make up for.
He's terrible in three categories, though. Home runs and RBIs, he's terrible.
Yeah.
If you have enough hitters, then there's other at-bats to make up for it. But, like, basically, batting average, I feel like, other than stolen bases, which there just aren't that many of in the game today, but batting average, I feel like, is the most difficult hitter category to make up for late in drafts or off the waiver wire, because anybody who excels at batting average and still provides power or speed is going to be drafted early.
Right.
So, like, unless, if you getting into team construction, if you want Hamilton on your team, that means you have to know to skip certain players like Stanton, like Edwin Encarnacion in the early rounds, because you can't afford to have that many people dragging you down in that category.
It also helps because you can draft Billy Hamilton and not worry about stolen bases from any other player.
Yeah.
Right. It might be overkill, though, if you
No, but like, because someone's going to have a 10 steal season. You're going to have a couple of guys who you didn't target for steals who just steal 10 bases anyway. Right. If you draft Josh or Paul Goldschmidt in the first round and then Billy Hamilton, that's probably enough to get you to third or fourth place.
It probably is
bases.
Enough. But if you've happened to pick up 15 to 20 steals with a few other players along the way, then you really don't even need Hamilton. Like, the harm he does is he does more harm than good at that point.
But I'm saying, like, at that point, you don't look at best steals at all.
I mean, it's probably a situation where, and again, this is more of a preseason discussion probably, but whether or not you target Hamilton isn't something you preconceive going into the draft. It kind of depends on the way your teams come together.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, then. That's it. We're marveling at greatness. That was a lot of fun, guys. A lot to marvel at. Now, I'll tell you what's also great. I'm looking at this website right now. Harrys.com/FBT. Harrys.com/FBT. Chris, Scott, go there right now. Let's talk about what these listeners are getting. They're getting an amazing deal because you're going to see the offer at Harrys.com/FBT. You're getting a $13 value for free. Sign up at Harrys.com/FBT. Take a look at that website. A weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, a travel blade cover, excuse me. It's really a great deal. We all use Harry's razors. I used it last night. Actually, I have a very nice shave. It's a close. It's a comfortable shave. It's a company that was started by Jeff and Andy, two ordinary guys. They were fed up with paying too much for razors, so they started Harry's to fix shaving. They bought their own German factory. You're not dealing with a middleman, okay? That's why you're saving money. Even after you use the promo code, you're going to save money. But all you have to do is pay for shipping. If you go to harrys.com/FBT, harrys.com/FBT, sign up. I told you what you're getting. Pretty nice, guys, right?
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
I will, the shave cream.
Yeah.
Especially. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend it. Yeah, it's great for your face. It's moisturizing. Love it.
Look at that. Yeah, I like it, Chris. And seriously, good value. Harrys.com/FBT and a great shave. All right, let's move on. Get back to the notes. We got news for you. Chase Anderson is going to pitch this weekend, but you're going to sit him because he's at Colorado. Yeah.
But you're going to add him anywhere he's available, which is 24% of CBS
Ooh,
Sports League.
Ooh, hot damn, really? I got to look at all my leagues for Chase Anderson. I like it.
He really looked like he had broken through before going down with that oblique injury. His last 7 starts, 1.30 ERA, 0.7 whip, 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. The fastball velocity was up. He was using his best 2 swing and miss pitches more. Definitely.
Fastball velocity way up this season.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nearly 2 miles per hour on average.
Okay. And we got some more pitcher news to get to. But Gregory Polanco's on the DL with a hamstring strain. Odubel Herrera has a hammy injury. He doesn't think he'll need to go on the ODL for Odubel Herrera. Trey Turner's on the 60-day DL now, but it shouldn't change his timetable. You might see Trey Turner back in about 2 weeks. Andrew Miller could be back Friday. Andrew Heaney is on track to return this weekend for the Angels, recovering from Tommy John surgery. Yeah? Would you rather own Heaney or Tyler Skaggs?
Heaney.
Yeah, I would rather own Heaney. Heaney has had a very good minor league rehab assignment for whatever that's worth.
And it's tough to say what it's worth, because when you have a bad minor league rehab assignment, that makes sense. And I think you kind of expect that.
Right.
Because you're working your way back from Tommy John surgery.
You do. But he had, in 6 starts, a 2.60 ERA, 1.19 whip, and, 9.4 strikeouts per 9 innings. So, now, it's interesting you compare him to Tyler Skaggs, because a year ago, Tyler Skaggs had the best minor league rehab assignment I've ever seen. He was recording like double-digit strikeouts every start, and it obviously didn't translate. And we haven't really seen Heaney be a great pitcher in the majors yet. He's shown some signs of being pretty good.
I mean, yeah, 3.50 ERA in 105 innings. He's not going to be a strikeout guy, but if he can get to, close to league average, he can be Jameson Taillon.
Okay. All right, so we'll see. I mean, I have trouble just like going out and adding an unproven pitcher coming back from Tommy John, but he's a name, Andrew Heaney. We got Noah Syndergaard throwing off a mound, and he said he felt great. Matt Harvey's going to make his second rehab start today. I can't wait for Matt Harvey to come back. I just love talking about him.
We're missing that dynamic on the podcast.
Yeah, right? It was so fun.
I want to know the size of his shoulder muscle, his right shoulder muscle.
Why?
Because supposedly that was the problem. Remember, it was like half the size of the left shoulder muscle?
Oh, I didn't know that.
He didn't rehab it properly.
Great.
In coming back from the surgery he had this offseason that I forget the name of now. Thoracic outlet surgery, yes.
You know, Scott, you've never admitted that you were wrong about Matt Harvey. Are we going to get that at some point?
He obviously did not recover from that procedure as well as I thought he would. I think that's fair to say. So, yes, I was wrong in that prediction.
I'm just trolling, Scott.
I hope.
I'm just trolling.
I think there's still some hope for the future. I don't really have much hope for this season, but I mean, if his right shoulder muscle is half the size of what it should be, you would think that would affect his velocity and effectiveness and everything else.
Yeah, well, how come you didn't notice that, Scott?
I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Who
on earth would notice that? Greg Bird was going to begin a rehab assignment today. Steven Vogt will be back soon, and Andrew Benintendi left after being hit by a pitch on the knee. Meanwhile, Devin Mesoraco's out 3 to 6 weeks with a fractured foot. Steven Strasburg looks like he could start this weekend. Johnny Cueto threw a bullpen session, and here are some lineup notes. All right, I really am holding Scott and Heath responsible for the fate of my podcast league team because you told me to start Trevor Story over Ketel Marte. Ketel Marte led off yesterday. He went 2 for 5. He had a very lucky hit and a run. But Trevor Story with the ding-dong leads Ketel Marte 7 to 5.5 right now. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Good job. Jonathan VR, guys, this is pretty interesting. Are we getting, you know, a comeback from VR? They had Keon Broxton on the bench. They put VR in center field. And this is with Arcia out with back spasms. VR in his last 5 games is 8 for 21 with a home run with 2 steals.
There was an explanation for it.
Oh, okay. What was it?
The Brewers wanted to get as many left-handed batters into the lineup against Ivan Nova as possible.
Gotcha. Okay. So
that was the explicit explanation for why Jonathan VR was in. So I'm not sure it leads to anything. But, I mean, we have seen this guy be really good in ways that weren't totally sustainable, but also weren't totally fluky either. There's talent here. Let's see.
Yeah, okay. And Cam Broxton's not very good.
Miguel Cabrera returned to the lineup. He went 0 for 3 with a walk and 2 strikeouts at Texas. Here's a segment called Told You So. Andrew McCutchen is 2 for 16 in his last 5 games, and he's batting .244 and slugging .333 in August. Told you so. All right, that felt good.
You just won't let this go, will you?
Just hoping for the collapse. Just like every time I check the Pirates box score, I'm hoping for something bad from McCutchen the same way. I know it. Same way that that Chris Towers is hoping for something bad from Manny Machado whenever he checks the O's box score.
Not at all. This is ridiculous.
I guess I'm just vindictive.
That's the difference, is I had Manny Machado as my number one shortstop. You would have kicked Andrew McCutchen out of Major League Baseball.
Probably, yeah, probably.
Very different thing.
So I have some other stuff in the notes, but we haven't really talked about that many players that people can go and add right now. We talked about the Nelson Lamet. I think if Luis Castillo is still available, it's an absolute no-brainer to go get him. Over Lamet, right?
He probably has like 3 starts
if
left.
If we could put them together and make Denelse Luis Castillomet, that would be the best pitcher in baseball.
Might be.
Castillo's slider sucks. Lamet's changeup sucks. Put them together.
I really don't. Like, I haven't seen anything from the Reds, but if they at all care about preserving his arm, he probably only has 3 starts left, and one of them's at the end of this same week. So. Hmm. I don't know that it's absolute no-brainer to pick up Castillo.
Okay, I forgot about that.
Look, maybe the Reds don't care about preserving his arm, and they'll just let him pitch until it falls off.
I have one league where I own 2 players that I think are worth looking at right now. One, look, Wilson Ramos has been terrible, but anytime a guy who was, I think, the number 3 catcher in fantasy last year, I know he got hurt at the end of the year, but still had a tremendous season with an .850 OPS. He's homered in 2 straight games. He missed so much time, Wilson Ramos, recovering from the ACL injury, that maybe he was just rusty. Maybe he's knocking it off. Wilson Ramos is 48% owned, and he's a catcher, for goodness sake. And Dexter Fowler, I did pick him up earlier in the week. And especially in a points league or an OBP league, he's walking so much. Dexter Fowler, yeah. Just want to see the ownership percentage. He's 69% owned. Might be able to help you out. He's been playing very well since coming off the DL. Anybody else that you guys think needs to be added right now?
Maybe Wilson Ramos, who's homered in back-to-back games now, three hits yesterday. Did you just mention him?
Sure did.
Well, that's why I had that pause. I was waiting for somebody to react, and nobody did.
Yeah. Who was in the waiver wire column today?
Yeah, I will point out a potentially meaningful but likely meaningless note that Wilson Ramos did say he had a very good batting practice session two days ago before the game, and thinks that that might have gotten him on track.
Okay. Yep.
It's out there now. I said it.
Corey Spangenberg is triple eligible and has homered in, what, five times in his last four games, I think it is.
He's been really good. He's 19% owned. We did talk about him yesterday, but since the All-Star break, Spangenberg's been like out of this world. And he's, what, second base?
Four home runs in his last three games.
Yeah, second base
eligible.
He's up
to 12 for the season. Also not a bad base stealer. I think he might be kind of a poor man's Whit Merrifield right now.
Okay. Whit Merrifield, I think, with his 21st steal yesterday. Kyle Bearclaw pitched yesterday in a non-save situation. They were trailing 6-4 at the time. He gave up a home run, a solo home run, struck out two. Still might be Ziegler, but I saw Scott did pick up Bearclaw in a couple leagues on Sunday night. And,
yeah.
Okay, we'll see if anything else comes up. More from yesterday. Let's play a game. It's called, oh, crap, don't look at the notes. Because you have all the
answers.
That's
what it's called?
That's a weird game.
I forgot to delete this from your version of the notes. So
do
just
we
don't,
have do we have like a theme song?
Don't look. Can you?
Oh crap! Don't look at the notes.
All right. So I put it in the notes for me, and then I send it to you guys. I was supposed to take this section out. So just don't look, or just tell me
I'm
if you already
looking.
Looked and know the answers. The game is in honor of my pathetic flub on Monday, where I kept mixing up Matt Olson or Matt Chapman. We are going to play Matt Olson or Matt Chapman. Okay.
Okay.
Who homered? Okay. Who homered yesterday?
Matt Olson.
Who doubled yesterday?
Matt Chapman.
Correct. Who is owned in more leagues?
Matt Chapman.
Correct. Who has hit more home runs?
Matt Chapman.
False. They are tied with eight.
Ah, trick question.
Who has more RBIs?
Matt Chapman.
That is correct. He has 22. Olson has 16. Who is a higher batting average?
Matt Chapman.
Chapman?
The box score.
Well, stop cheating. It's Chapman, 222 to 215. Who has a higher on-base percentage?
Okay, I'm not looking.
Olson.
Chapman.
Chris cheated. 296 to 295.
Looking.
Chapman wins.
By 1 point.
But one of them has hit four home runs in his last five games, and Matt Olson is 7% owned.
I think Matt Olson's better than Matt Chapman. He has struck out a ton since getting called to the majors, but his strikeout rate at AAA really wasn't as bad as I expected it to be. It's not like he was Joey Gallo down there, and he has big-time power. He actually hit for a respectable batting average at AAA. And, yeah, he's first base instead of third base, but I think his bat is more projectable. Not sure either is that useful right now, except in deeper leagues, but I do have more hope for Olson going forward.
Okay. Double dongs from yesterday, guys. We had Carlos Santana, who is now the number 12 first baseman in points leagues, number 21 in Roto, and he is batting 248 with 18 homers, and Howie Kendrick has a 1140 OPS in 14 games with Washington. So much of that is the last two games, during which Kendrick has three homers. He also led off yesterday. I'm thinking Goodwin's a little dinged up right now.
Goodwin's on the DL.
That's right. He's very dinged
up. They called up Alejandro Deaza.
Oh, okay. So Kendrick, 20% owned. Let me give you two guys here. Howie Kendrick, although he's, you know, you can use him as a second baseman. So just generally speaking. Or a player who's the number 26 outfielder in points, number 23 in Roto in the last 21 days. 5% owned Matt Joyce. I know we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Did Matt Joyce or Howie Kendrick rev your engine at all?
I would rather have Matt Joyce, which is not – that might be damning with faint praise.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's hard to overlook the fact that Howie Kendrick's batting, what, 351 for the year? Obviously, it's been an injury-shortened year, but – I don't think that's particularly sustainable. And I do think Joyce has more power. I guess Joyce.
All right, we did two up. Two up was Wilson Ramos and Dexter Fowler. Let's go to two down. Cyrus Davis is 73% owned. How do you feel about that ownership percentage for Chris Davis of the Orioles, who was batting 192 with a 288 slugging percentage in August?
I think it's appropriate. I'm surprised it's that low now, because I just figure most Chris Davis owners, a large percentage of Chris Davis owners, would have waited him out to a point that they just gave up. But 73% shows people are paying attention, and I think it's about right, given the state of first base, given the state of Chris Davis.
Would you drop him for Rhys Hoskins?
Yes.
Yes. No. Yes.
Okay. Malik Smith is two down, number two. First of all, Kevin Kiermaier began a rehab assignment. Secondly, since the All-Star break, Malik Smith is batting 191. He has not stolen a base in August. Steals tend to come in bunches, but he's been ice cold. Is the Malik Smith, he's only 22% owned, but you are using him for steals. Is the Malik Smith fun about to end?
I've been using him in the one league I own him for, just stolen bases, just trying to make up for the loss of Trey Turner, and this is the last week that I will be using him.
Okay, that's Malik Smith. Let's go to the rotation and talk about five pitchers from yesterday. Gio Gonzalez is like legitimately a Cy Young candidate. He has a 2.49 ERA, 1.13 WHIP. But look at the swinging strikes in his last two starts. Two starts ago and one yesterday. He's had four starts this year with six swinging strikes, but that was his season low before one yesterday. Does that matter at all to you with Gio Gonzalez?
He's been really difficult to figure out. He's been difficult to figure out for about three seasons now, because by many measurements, strikeout rate and ground ball rate included, it looks like he's a worse pitcher than he was the previous 2 years. And yet he's gotten much better results. The BABIP this year is really low. It's 241,
and this is not someone who has historically been an extremely low BABIP guy.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm starting him everywhere I own him, but I'm kind of keeping one eye open, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Is he just having his Rick Porcello season, and next year is going to be pretty bad for Gio? Sobering?
I look at the peripherals are not good. This is someone who for the course of his career has pitched to his peripherals. His ERA is a run and a half lower than his FIP right now. So I have to be consistent. I didn't believe in it when Jason Vargas was doing it, so I'm not going to believe it with Gio Gonzalez. I think things are going to take a turn for the worse.
Okay. Been waiting patiently for that.
Alex, that's why I'm just kind of riding with it.
I'm not saying bench him, but the gap between his peripherals and his ERA, when he had a low to mid threes ERA, I was like, all right, he can keep this up, but this is going to take a turn for
his FIP is 392.
Yeah.
It's the second highest FIP of his career. The highest was his rookie season with the A's.
All right. Danny Salazar was great again. I think he's a must-start right now. Alex Wood, are you guys comfortable with Alex Wood right now after he had his little brief struggles?
Yep.
He's been great last three starts.
Yeah, velocity hasn't really gotten better, but I think he's good.
Okay, Kyle Hendricks. Wow, he went six innings. That was shocking, but he walked four. He struck out six against the Reds. Do you pretty much just start Kyle Hendricks every time?
No.
No,
no, I think he's a matchup guy with an 85-mile-an-hour fastball.
But he never does badly,
though. He does
have
two ERA since returning from the DL.
Right, he never does
badly. But this was his second time going six innings or more since May.
Yeah. Well, second time going, he missed a lot of time since May.
Yeah. But what I said is technically true.
Yeah. That's like,
I think second time in seven starts is what that comes out to.
First start of the year, he goes seven innings, and it's like, first time pitching more than six innings since November. Dan Straley's had a nice year. He had an okay start yesterday. Last 10 starts, he's a 4.37 ERA. Only 37 strikeouts in 55 and two-thirds for Straley. But an 11% swinging strike rate, which should probably get you a lot more than 37 in 55 and two-thirds. Not that it's elite, but it's not bad. What do you make of the lower strikeouts from Dan Straley? He's been pretty pedestrian for 10 starts now.
That combined with the fact he's hardly ever going six innings.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think there's a lot to like here anymore. There was a time when it looked like he was turning the corner. It seemed like he was in the perfect park for his skill set. The strikeout rate was up, but he has all the problems of Kyle Hendricks, but with the addition of being vulnerable to home runs and not having as good of a supporting cast, just not that interesting.
Okay.
I think he's Marco Estrada.
Is he droppable, Dan Straley? Like, not saying you have to drop him, but you could.
He's droppable. I'd rather have Lamet.
I'd like to use him at home, just like I'd like to use Lamet at home.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many pitchers I can really fault for not going six innings anymore. If I'm just looking for streamers, it's like
on the streamer level, yeah. I mean, I don't know that sixes can ever be an expectation, but among those 84% owned, I still think it's an issue.
Sure, sure. All right, let's take a look at today's matchups with the Pirates at the Brewers. I'm going to skip the 1 o'clock games, go to the 2:10 p.m. Eastern game. Garrett Cole, Jimmy Nelson, start him, right?
Yep.
Danny Duffy at Paul Blackburn. Royals at A's. Danny Duffy at Paul Blackburn.
I will definitely start Danny Duffy.
Me too.
Ubaldo Jimenez, Marco Gonzalez.
I'm not going to start either of those.
And will you start either Nick Pivetta or Clayton Richard as the Phillies and Padres tangle?
No, sir.
I don't hate the idea of starting Pivetta if I'm totally desperate.
Jaime Garcia for the Yankees tonight against the pitcher that I drafted more than any other player. I had him in four or five leagues, I believe. Robert Gesellman.
Jaime, that's entirely my fault.
And Gesellman. Start either of them?
No.
Jacob Faria, Marcus Stroman.
Start both.
Lance Lynn at the Red Sox facing Eduardo Rodriguez.
I'm going to say start both.
Yeah, I don't think you can sit Lynn.
Anibal Sanchez, Cole Hamels.
Give me the whole Camels.
Yeah.
And not the Anibal.
Homer, Bailey, John Lackey.
I thought you were just calling me a homer there for a second. I'll start Lackey.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
Start Carrasco, sit Kyle Gibson. Taiwan Walker at Charlie Morton.
I feel okay with Morton. I'm going to say no to Walker. Astros too tough of a matchup.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike Foltynewicz at John Gray.
Coors Field, I'm going to take neither.
I will definitely start John Gray against the Braves.
All right. And Carlos Rodon at Yu Darvish. All right. Darvish, yes. Rodon at the Dodgies. What do you think?
That's a really tough matchup, but...
But they changed their name, Scott. I didn't make that up.
I don't think you can sit Rodon with how good he's looked the last few starts.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. These are his last three starts. 6 2/3, one run, 9 strikeouts against Cleveland. 7 2/3, 2 runs, 11 strikeouts at Boston. 8 innings, 2 runs, 4 strikeouts against Houston. And by the way, Houston,
I think...
And
he struck out 11 at the Cubs the start before that. It's a bad start, but 11 strikeouts.
Yeah, he's got at least 9 strikeouts in 4 of his 8 starts. So
Houston, I believe, has the fewest strikeouts in baseball?
I believe they do. They have been among the leaders for most of the season, as well as in home runs.
By a lot. 808 strikeouts for Houston. The next is 849 Cleveland. That's amazing. Last year, they were like a guarantee for strikeouts.
Yep.
Let's finish with a few emails here. Jason from Ottawa. Rest of season, Tim Beckham, Eddie Rosario, Aaron Hicks. Rank Beckham, Rosario, and Hicks.
I will go Hicks, Rosario, Beckham.
I will go Rosario, Hicks, Beckham.
This is from Ben. Rank these guys rest of season. Barrios, Rodon, Reynaldo Lopez, Luis Castillo. Barrios, Rodon, Reynaldo Lopez, Luis Castillo.
Rodon. And then it gets tough. I mean, on a start-by-start basis, I'd go Castillo second. But, again, I don't know that he has too many of those left. So Rodon, I'm going to put him fourth by default.
Rodon, Barrios, Castillo, Lopez.
I'll move Lopez ahead of Castillo, but sure.
All these rankings emails. This is from Wes in Arizona. Rank these shortstops. Chris Taylor, Ketel Marte, Jonathan Villar, Ahmed Rosario, Trevor Story. Chris Taylor, Ketel Marte, VR, Rosario, and Story.
I will go Story, Rosario. Was that one of them? Marte. And who was the other?
VR.
Taylor and VR.
And Chris Taylor.
Well, VR fourth. Okay, if we're going to call Taylor a shortstop, which he's not in standard CBS leagues, then he would be first.
Sure.
So who was second for you, Scott?
Story.
Story. Chris?
Yeah.
I agree with Scott's ranking, and I won't belabor the point.
From Craig in Middletown, Delaware. Someone dropped Shaw Manaea in our league. Is he worth an automatic pickup or more of a wait and see for Manaea?
It depends entirely on what you have to give up. His really strong run starting at about May coincided with him throwing his slider more and getting better results than he ever had with it. He's lost that. Manager was talking about that yesterday. So I think that's it depends on who you have to drop. I'm fine with adding him, though.
Okay, that's Shaw Manaea. And our final email is from Joseph. Dear Clint, Aaron, and Brett. Boons. Oh, wait, no. Oh. No. Who's Clint Boone? Yankees outfielders. Sorry.
There you go.
Head-to-head point. Wow, I went to Boone's before I went to Yankees outfielders. Weird. I lost Wilson Contreras in a points league. I picked up Tyler Flowers. He seems to be losing playing time to Kurt Suzuki. Any recommendations on a fill-in catcher for the stretch run?
Wilson Ramos. Alex Avila, who is, you know, obviously Contreras' direct replacement for the Cubs.
How about
somebody definitively better than Flowers?
How about someone who just hit their first home run of the season last night, who we have not mentioned?
Jorge Alfaro.
First career home run. Jorge Alfaro.
Yeah. He's not playing a lot.
He's played three of the last five games for the Philadelphia Phillies. Okay. Before that, he hadn't played in five games, but three of the last five for sure.
Okay. That's about as much as Flowers played.
Look, he's very strikeout prone, but he's also a former elite talent who has been a top 100 prospect for a long time. Didn't have a great season in the minors this year, but has big pop for a catcher.
Yeah, that home run, it was a screamer. It was the hardest. During the StatCast era, it had the highest exit velocity of any Phillies home run.
Oh,
line drive to center field.
I mean, it's not necessarily the toughest competition there. It's not like they've had Aaron Judge.
Cameron Rupp has a lot
but,
of...
You know, yeah. that made me think of the Baseball Tonight graphic from the early 2000s of the ball screaming. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right, we got to go. We got to make way for the In This Corner Wrestling podcast, the Wednesday edition. Make sure you check it out, In This Corner. It's a wrestling MMA and boxing podcast. It's very awesome. So we'll talk to you later. For Chris and Scott, I'm Adam. See ya.